Okay, so tonight is the third Chabura of the Sugya. So, as I told you guys before, we're going to be discussing, you know, the second and third issues of, you know, again, number one, the Petur Katan, and number two, the Petur Isha. As you noted at the beginning of the Sugya, we're going to try to analyze these issues and really all issues in the Sugya in light of the overall, you know, approaches we've been developing about whether the Ikar Mechayev of Ben Sora Mura, again, is the future or the past. Fine. So, okay, so starting with the issue of the Petur Katan, if everyone can turn to the Mishnah on Samach Ches on the base, is one of those loaded, first we'll do the Mishnah, we'll do the Gemara, is one of these like loaded Shaka Vartarya, where every single line is really crucial and very important to, again, analyze in light of the bigger picture. So someone can take a stake at the Mishnah. Yosef, if you don't mind. Loud, you're on one side, so you can, you know, Yair here. And Hanina. Oh, beautiful. Just like Cole likes it.
The Ema Sinai is the Mitzvah. The Shiyokin states Sinai, and Shiyokin Zogin, Hatafli, Zogin, Hatafli, Beloyayon. In Elijah,
okay, so that's going to be our second topic for tonight. We'll get back to that. Very good, right? So the right, our first topic is going to be the Petur Katan, right? In fact, in the last line of the Mishnah, right, the Mishnah explicitly states that the din ben sora mora does not apply to a katan. So Yosef, what is the reasoning offered by the Mishnah in terms of why a katan is mufka from ben sora mora? Oh, exactly. So it's basically one can, you know, reformulate as ain't a bar chiyuva, right? A katan, right, didn't come to, you know, is not a bar mitzvah, and therefore as ain't a bar chiyuva is pater from all onshin. So right off the bat, you have to analyze, you know, really the applicability of this factor of Eino Bar Chiyuva in light of the bigger picture. Again, according to approach number two, that the Ikar Mechayev for Ben Sora More is that which he did in the past. So then this makes a lot of sense. All right, how can he be Mechayev him on his current actions if currently he's at Eino Bar Chiyuva? So according to, again, the second approach, that the Ikar Mechayev Ben Sora More is the past actions, so then this factor of Eino Bar Chiyuva makes a lot of sense. But the big kasha is going to be according to the more normative approach, number one. If the Ikar Mechayev is the future, the fact that in the future he's going to perform any number of Maisim, which will be Mechayev Misa, so why does it matter that currently he's a Katan? If the Maisim, which, you know, which trigger the Chiyuv Misa, are taking place when, at a later point in time, when he's going to be a Gadol, so then why does it matter that currently he's a katan? That's the obvious kasha. Welcome. Okay. You can say it.
Isn't the answer also obvious?
Okay, yeah.
Isn't the answer...
You better be a good answer.
isn't the answer that the that he's really puzzled from is the Zion that he's inflicting on his parents that constitutes the what amounts to cursing them?
No, that's the other approach.
What?
Right now we're asking within the first approach,
yeah,
which thinks that the Ikar Mechayev is the fact that the later point in life is Mekil.
But if the later point in life concerns the later point in life is what constitutes the, right, is that if the future...
So then you don't need the Bizayon for those
purposes. Future.
And the only time you need to come onto the factor of Bizayon is for the Das Akenim and the Rush invoke the factor of Mikal al Ve'ima.
Yeah.
According to the simple Mahalach from the Sugya, the Nidon Hashem Sofo, Melasim Sabrios, which is simply, he's going to commit the act of Ritzicha. He's going to be Mikal al Shabbos. He's going to kidnap someone. He's a Rodev. All these factors have nothing to do with Bizayon. The Pashas has nothing to do with Bizayon al Ve'ima. And therefore, the question, the moment is stronger than the answer, is... So therefore, if the Ikar Mechayev is the future actions, so why does it matter that at this, the present point in time, he is a katan? If at the later point in time, when the actions which are going to be Mechayev and Misa, at that point in time, is a gadol, that should suffice. Yeah.
Rabbi, so in the Mishnah, is a shnemar going back on the name aside?
Um,
We say you have to have stage sorrows. Shne'emar Kilish Ben Ben Loish Katan.
It seems like it's introducing new factors.
If it's a new factor, then you don't really need the person to tell you it. Because you know stage sorrows, that means that's cut them.
Yeah, it's we're gonna hold that up for now. I just wanna we're in a certain flow here. I just want to make sure. So we just asked a question, right? The question we just asked was, again, according to the first normative approach of the Ikar Mechayev of Ben Sora Mora is the future. So why does it matter that at this point in time he is a katan, is eno ba l'chal mitzvos? Yeah. Well, I'm saying, if according to that first approach, the primary reason for putting this person to death is that which he's going to commit at a later point in time, so the status which should be the determining factor is the status at that later point in time, and at that later point in time when he commits ritzicha, when he commits the murder, at that later point in time when he kidnaps, at that point later point in time when he is mechal Shabbos, as long as he's a gadol then, as long as ba l'chlal mitzvos at that point in time. And who cares that at this point in time he's a katan? That's the.
And at this point, we just said that it's made. That's our work in 13 years.
Exactly. Those 6 months. Okay. Exactly. So it's important. So it's possible to answer this question by presenting a yisod which we're going to develop, in future shiurim. I think maybe the next one or the one after that, which that even according to the first approach, which thinks that the ikar mechayev is the future. There's still a question of why analyze the person based on the future and not based on his current status. See, there's a counter pressure, right? In stark contrast to the factor of Nidon Hashem Sofo, there's a counter value called Ba'asher Husham, which dictates that we judge people based on where they are at this point in time. So the big question that Mepharshim are going to grapple with is why do we find certain Makoros saying that we only focus on the present point in time, Ba'asher Husham, while by Ben Sora Mora we focus on the future? So we'll see one answer to that question is that we focus on Ba'asher Husham, where the person, when the person is completely innocent at this point in time. When the person is completely innocent at this point in time, so then we say we don't take into account the future. But when it comes to Ben Sora Moreh, the reason why we don't focus on Ba'asher Husham, his current status, we rather take into account his future, is because he already has a Shem Gavra Rasha. He already is a Rasha. Right? As you pointed out, he already stole a couple times. Perhaps he was Mevatel, the Aseh of Kedoshim Tiyu, as we'll see in the Ramban. So in short, if you take that approach, that even those who think that the Ikar Mechayev is the future, in order to tap into the future, the person needs to have a Shem Gavra Rasha at this point in time. So then one could say that the Mishnah is saying, but if at this point in time is Eino Bo L'chal Mitzvos, then how can you grant him a Shem Rasha to therefore trigger Nidon Hashem Sofo if at this point in time he's Eino Bar Chiyuva? Meaning, how can you make him culpable for his current actions in order to give him a Shem Rasha, which will then enable us to be mechayev and based on Nidon Hashem Sofa. Yes. Yes. And therefore, yeah, they say at that point in time he was completely
right.
What? Oh, this is different midrash. We'll get to these makoros, but there's going to be a group who's going to say that the chiluk is that Ba'asher Husham is that at that point in time he was completely perfect. Yeah.
Either way, though, I now think that the two normative approaches for this issue are like the differences are really minimal. Whichever approach you take, you're going to have to evaluate his previous actions and then project into the future. And then project into the future by making a prediction based on the current state of affairs.
Yes. What's coming out of, for sure, the Shach Matarya will see even further, even more clearly, that what's going to come out of this sugya is that everything's more nuanced than we thought. It's not as simple as saying, oh, one approach thinks everything's about the future, and one approach thinks everything's about the past. It's clear that everyone has to agree that there is some value to the present, past, and everyone has to agree that there's some value to the future. The question is going to be, which one is the Ikar Mechayev? That's going to be the question, right? And that changes a lot. As we'll see, we'll make it clear as, you know, as the shiurim go on, that which one is the trigger of the Misa, and what is, and, you know, again, is the future of the past the Mechayev of the Misa? And depending on how you answer that question, that'll dictate whether the other time is, you know, just supplying a side element, whether it just be a Gavr Shin Rasha, or just be a context for the present actions. Again, you're right that both approaches require both, you know, the present and the future, but what they do with them is completely different, and that has, you know, that changes everything, as we'll see. Yeah.
Just a little example, the opinions that say that there's a way to do in the future may not hold, like, the style of the action.
Correct. In Parshat Pshat, he didn't do anything against his parents, which is Chayav Misa. Again, but that's an Akimta. I mean, either an Akimta or a Mechudosh understanding in the Kal of Avim. Either it's like you're adding something, like, you know, you're saying that a Klala took place, even though there's no Makor.
Well, that's not the normal case.
Exactly. There are no Makoros in the Gemara that say that. And even the, you know, the suggestion that we, you know, that we had yesterday, that it's like a din of the Kal of the Imo, that is also, that's a chiddush. There's a lot of assumptions to that. So Pashup Shad is that he stole from his parents. And that, on that basis alone, there's no reason for him to tie Musa. Fine. Okay, so Adkan, again, stage number one. In the Mishnah, basically says that the reason for the Ptur of a Katan is Ina Ba L'Chol Mitzvos. Again, according to approach number two, that's very simple. Why that, you know, why should that have an impact? Because according to approach number two, everything's about the past. So yeah, the fact that it's Eino Bar Chiyuva when he did those past actions, that's eminently understandable why that should play a role. And I was suggesting that even according to approach number one, that the Ikar Mechayev is the future, in order to judge a person based on the future and not based on the present, that also requires that the person in the present has have some type of, you know, shame rasha. Again, that shame rasha is not a chiyuv misa. To be a very big difference. In order to attain that shame rasha, that's not, you don't need to justify a chiyuv misa. You just need to say that he was over some averos, such as Gneva. Very simple. But even to get to that lower standard of shame rasha, that he, you know, violated certain averos, if you say it is Eino Bar Chiyuva, so maybe he shouldn't even be a shame, he shouldn't even have a shame rasha based on those averos, because he, you know, he's not culpable for that which he does when he's an Eino Bar Chiyuva.
Can I ask an
anti-Brisker question? Nope. No. There's one. No. I just want to make sure that we cover. Fine. But now going to the Gemara, it's going to be a very important Shach HaVatar. Again, each stage of the Gemara is going to require a lot of analysis. I just want to make sure we, you know, keep the pace moving. Yosef, if you don't mind.
Sure. Katan,
Minal, Depater. Oh. Right, so it's the opening. Right, so the opening line of Katan, Minal, Depater. Right, so Kata Minal and Depater. Guys, let's go. Right, so the opening line of Kata Minal and Depater seems, we're just asking, right, how do we know that a Katan is Pater? That seems not to require any independent analysis. Now the Gemara challenges that question with two challenges. Number one. Oh. So how would you interpret that? That first challenge?
In the Mishnah, what's the questioning?
Exactly, no. It's clearly, you know, the Mishnah clearly gives us the reason. Eino Bar Chiyuva, Gemarnu. Yisu.
Yisu. Where do we ever find that Eiro is the Anish and Katan, that we need a prosecutor to teach us that
he's Katan? So how do you differentiate between those two questions?
Meaning, can't even ask the question. We don't even need a reason, because there's no reason we would think
he's Chayiv. Exactly. Right? So, in other words, I think exactly what Yosef is saying, I'll say the simple understanding of these two different challenges is that the first one is textual, meaning, what are you asking? The answer is clearly found in the Mishnah. And the second question is more of a svara, of like, okay, forget the Mishnah, this is like a pashat svara. The Ptur of Eino Bar Chiyuva, the fact that Katan is not Chayiv in Onshin, that's like Aleph is. So just even forget the Mishnah. Misvara, we know that a Katan is Eino Bar Chiyuva, and therefore there wouldn't be an Onesh. Again,
what is the first one, the Kra?
Is it a textual question? The first question is more like...
I mean, not a Pasuk, I mean like actual
textual, like text of the Mishnah. Yeah. So right, the first question is textual. Like, okay, what do you mean? What are you asking? A question which is the answer to which is clearly found in the Mishnah. Textual question. Second question is, forget that. This is just like a Pashat Svara. We always know that that a katan is not chayav in any onsh. So again, this first way of learning these two challenges, again, which I thought is like, oh, the Pashat way, again, is hinted to in the Rabbeinu Yonah. I had you guys see. Again, if you look at Rabbeinu Yonah closely, you know, the first piece on the parak, again, seems to have this idea that he says, he basically introduces the second challenge by saying, beyond the fact that it's, you know, that the reason is explicitly stated in the Mishnah, you have a Svara. So again, textual question and then a Svara question.
Isn't that what is said in the Mishnah? Isn't that articulating that the allegate question? I don't understand the difference between the different questions. That is the articulation of the general rule that we have, that a cutter is a cutter.
Good question. I guess it's more like, why do you even need the Mishnah to tell you that? Like, why is it even like necessary to tell you?
Oh,
I guess so. That could be the reason why the Chiddush HaRan, you know, we'll see right now, learns otherwise. But I hear what you're asking. But I think the way just, I think just the Lashon, the mission, the Lashon of the Gemara sounds like that.
Yeah.
First one's like, hey, the Tani Kai. The other one's like, okay, now it's fine. But I hear what you're asking. It seems to be, yeah.
How's
it? What's the first question? It sounds like the definition. Well, I think these questions are more like, why do you, not that we have a pasuk, but like that why do you need a pasuk?
Right. But the first
meaning, why do you need a separate pasuk? I mean, the first question is that the Mishnah gives you justification for it. Well, why are you searching for, you know, a drasha? No, I mean, the first one is like the, I mean, generally when the Mishnah gives you a reason, you don't now say, which is like self-evident and like, you know, reasonable, you don't get, it's like, oh, now let's find a drasha for it. It's like, no, yeah, the Mishnah's misaber. What?
Not
for that. Not
for
not
being
adult.
Not for that. I think the first question is that the first challenge is the Mishnah gave you a reason. Second question is like, you don't even like, why do you even need the, in a way, like, why do you even need the Mishnah's reason? This is like all of this. That's what I think Meir was asking. Yeah. I hear. It's a little redundant. You're gonna see the Chiddush HaRan, perhaps because, like I said before, is gonna, you know, draw, you know, stark difference between these two questions, perhaps because it's bothered by what you're saying. I do think this is the Pashka on just the Taisha of the Gemara, but I hear what you're saying, and it ends up still being a little redundant. Yeah,
simple. I should say, not only, maybe here's the reason, but what's the primary reason? So, the first question is, the second question is, you don't need a pot time to continue taking the cut.
So, what was the first question?
First question is, like, did you give us a reason? Yeah, but we weren't asking for this reason, we're asking for a possible reason. The first rebuttal of...
You're sort of asking questions of the Gemara, right?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were answering the Gemara.
The first thing
was... You're agreeing with that? Yeah, I hear the ha. Modem. Fine. So again, all these questions could be the reason for... Anyone get to see the Chiddush HaRan inside? Yeah, Amram? You can say it outside. Did you remember, or... Yeah, how explain?
What he was saying is that both the two questions are coming at us from opposite angles.
Okay, yeah.
And that one is saying that it's one is saying that it should be necessary, and the other is saying the same, and one is saying that it should not be.
I don't think so. If someone wants to read it, yeah, you want to read inside? Sure.
It came out though.
Are you reading it? The Chiddush HaRan. Again, you see right now, the Chiddush HaRan has a mechudash, you know, understanding of these two challenges, trying to, you know, understand like what exactly is the difference between them. Basically bothered by the question being raised, like, isn't they seem to be redundant. Alright, so basically he's exactly asking that question. The two questions are, in essence, one question that, like, okay, Einar Bar Chayuva is the reason. So what does he do? How does he answer?
He usually parades. Shemash Amru Shalom Balach Amitzvot. Hainu Shalom Ruhu Hakatsu Kiyot Shal Atma.
Yeah, exactly. So stage one, very important. This is what we assumed it was. Stage one, according to Chiddush Ha'aron, is that, you know, first challenge is that it's pashit that we're not going to be mechayiv him for his own actions, because in a bar chiyuva dictates that a person is not chayiv, is not responsible for his own actions when he is a katan.
Meaning how we explained it. Man.
Yeah. Basically, the way we're understanding both questions before, he basically says that's all nichlal in the first question. So now the big second question, yeah.
Well, shalom yani shuhu yad eno b'klal y shema nemar sabisim anishin yisho b'la pametzos kidei l'chakar ha-shomen k'mashakaso v'chula ha'am yishmu b'yuro. V'alzeh amru lo ashpan d'chai rachmana sh'af d'makom sh'tarach onesh.
So what's the second challenge according to this year, huh? What's the second question of the Gemara?
That we never even see that based on make impression of everybody
else. Exactly. Very, very important yisod. The Chiddush Ha'aron is Medayik in the Psukim. We're gonna get back to this later. That again, we always point out before that the Psukim, when talking about the death and putting the Ben Sora Mor to death, one phrase is Biarta Rav Mikarvecha, which is a classical phrase used by other Mises Basin. The other phrase, which is used in very circumscribed cases, is the concept of Chol Ha'am Yishmu V'Yirah. That if you're putting the Ben Sora Mor to death, that'll send a message to others. So says the Chiddush Ha'aron, perhaps on the basis of that formulation, perhaps that's the nature of the Chiyav Misa. Perhaps the nature of the Chiyav Misa is that we're putting the Ben Sora Mor to death, not because of his own actions, because in a Chanami, for his own actions, of course a Katan, we would never put him to death. In a Bar Chiyuva, that's Pashit. But maybe we would put a Katan to death in order to serve as a message, as a Musar, to others. So basically we're saying, so perhaps we should apply Ben Sora Mor to a Katan, Kedei L'Afchido L'Achirim, in order to send a message to others. The Gemara says, no, don't even think that type of Misa applies, because we don't even find that Misos such as that, let's say, like putting a Rotzeach to death, which serves that same similar function of giving a Musar to others, we don't find even that type of Misa for a Katan.
That's the answer.
That's his explanation of the second point. Basically, as follows. First one is Minolan, you need a reason. Meaning, from the perspective of putting to death based on his own actions, that's pashit. We have a reason in a bar chiyuva. The su, and if you're going to say, add a little bit, and if you're going to say, or the hidden subtext is, and if you're going to say, let's put him to death, not for his own actions, but to give a proper message to others. No, hecha eshkechan da anashar kasev da hachal li ba'ikrol l'miftri. Where do you even find in other contexts which serve that similar purpose of giving musar to others? We don't find in other contexts where you apply that to a katan, such that you would need a pasuk specifically here to tell you not to apply it to katan. So again, the Chiddush Ha'aron, it's very mechudish. Again, not only is it a mechudish read of the Gemara, it's also highlighting a very important aspect of the sugya, that you have this yusod, potentially yusod, again, for the Chiddush Ha'aron, it's only a havamin, and we'll see for others, it might be even a maskana, this factor that perhaps is an element of putting the Ben Sora Mora to death, not based on his actions, being past actions, being future actions, but perhaps putting to death not for his actions, but in order to give a message to others, which is a very important yusod, which we'll get back to in the future.
In the Codex, the passage that he's quoting is actually not from the Torah Mora. It's something from something about.
What do they quote?
It's during Parak Yudai Pasuk Gimel.
Okay.
Which is in the Torah.
Okay, but this is very similar. I can look at
the wrong person.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
Well, no, because I was thinking that maybe it's talking
before, about... Hold your horses. And before you come up with any, too creative pshatim, let's just get the psukim. One second. By Ben Soramara. One second. It says, V'chol Yisrael, meaning Dvarim, Chaf Aleph, Chaf Aleph. I'm reading currently from Dvarim, Chaf Aleph, Chaf Aleph, which is the context of Ben Soramara. Her Gemu, Kol Anshe Iro, Bavanam, Bameis. Okay, a slight mistake. No. It's not like to be said. Meaning, it's a typo. But the point of the Chiddush Iran is the same, that V'chol Yisrael Yishmu V'yiro. What? What is that?
It was another
insecure
situation.
I'm saying. Do you have the, anyone have the Yisad Rav Kook?
That's a good line.
Okay, either way, it's clear that he's referencing. It's clear that the, you know, he's referencing the Chol Yisrael Yishmu V'yiro, which is the same fact, which is the factor. No. Yeah, we're not. It's extra. No, it's too. It's not. Whatever. It's not worth it. One at a time.
You
share Ron's hobby, huh? Seemingly. Well, you have to figure out what the Mishkan is. Are you asking on the Chiddush Iran?
Well, let's say that Torah is more than God. Why do we have to do that?
We're going to get back to it, but it could be an aspect of it is in order to that the Chol Am Yishmu V'yiro.
An aspect of it, we should say that.
The Chiddush Iran Tavlina is that aspect alone would justify the Misa. It could be that the Maskana is, no, that's an aspect, but it doesn't work on its own.
Wait, is that what the Ran is saying, or is it what the Ran is saying that is actually what prevents us from that it being a, that the publicity of the execution is actually what?
No, that would be the reason to apply the Misa even though he's a Katan. Kamash Moran, that even that factor of, you know, this public message, even that doesn't apply to a Katan.
You
think that, oh, that would justify it being to a katan? No, Kamash Mulan, that even that doesn't apply to a katan. Again, you can explain the Maskana in different ways. You can either explain, like Meir is saying, because perhaps they're saying that factor of Kol Am Yishmu V'yiro is not an independent, you know, justification. Or somehow you can explain that, no, even if it is an independent justification, perhaps, you know, the Misa of a Katan doesn't accomplish that goal.
That's,
is it? You hear what I said?
Yeah, no. I understand that, but those two seem to be. So then, is it that the.
Because again, perhaps the message, you know, the message sent by killing a Katan is not the same message sent by killing a Gadol. Because from people's perspectives, no, he's not responsible for his actions. So even from the perspective of the message being sent to others, perhaps, you know.
But in order to say that that's the reason I think that part of the execution is what prevents it from being applied to the
Katan. That's not what's preventing it. That's the potential justification for it. The reason why we don't do that is that, Lo Matsinu in other cases that we apply the Misa of Chol Am Yishmu V'yiro even to a Katan.
But there are other reasons why you might execute him anyway.
But the other reason is based on his own actions, and then question number one, the Gemara said, of course we're not going to put him to death based on his own actions because ain't a Baruch Yehuva. So the sec... Are we not?
No, in Akanami though, if you take the approach that what we're putting him to death for is Al Shem Sofo, we read that into the Ran, and then you have a good reason to put him to death.
The Gemara didn't get to Al Shem Sofo. So.
We don't know which approach the Gemara takes.
The answer of the Gemara introduces the factor of Nidan Al Shem Sofo.
Okay.
So, the Pashtos at this stage of the Gemara, we're not taking that into account yet.
I mean, come on.
The Ran is explaining the Gemara.
The Ran has not gotten to this part yet.
Yeah, he's explaining the first stage of the Gemara. The Gemara only in the second stage of the Gemara invokes Nidan Al Shem Sofo.
Here.
Okay. Last question. Okay. You were going to be the last question. I was saying you can ask. Okay. Quick, yeah. I just want
to... According to this way of the Ran explaining it, that would mean he's going according to the second Sfarah.
Why?
Because if you want to send a message...
And the Cholam Yishma Viro is independent of the Nidon Hashem Sofa factor. Again, remember... All
right.
Yeah, but for now. Okay, fine. Okay, now, big punchline in the Gemara, which Kol was, couldn't wait to get to, is where the Gemara now, again, just so we're, you know, realizing just the context here, right? We basically, Gemara has just finished asking, what is the Havamina to apply Misa Spensor Moret to a Katan? That's, in short, the question. Different versions of asking it, Pash Pshah, Kudish, Iran, fine, but now the Gemara is about to justify, why would you think... Why would you have a half a minute to apply the Misa Ben Sora Mora to a Katan such that you would require a drasha? Yosef, please. Start on.
Anan Hakatan Mina. Oh, the men say, Even
Al Shem Seifen Nero. Yeah, before that, even because if you notice, see, the Gemara here, in very important fashion, adds a line even beyond Al Shem Sofo. Right before it, it says, Al Cheto Nerag. Exactly, which is again very important. I mean, beautiful, you know, emotional response. It's good, good.
The word of oh.
Oh, right, that's what it was. I'm not sure. Okay, either way, you should have had an emotional response to this because again, it's a very important line, big picture. Right, exactly. It doesn't just say Al Shem Sofo; it also says, in a rhetorical fashion, Al Cheto Nerag. Is it based in the past? No, it's based in the future. So that's a very loaded statement. Okay, we'll get back to it. The Kevan. Oh. So in short, what's the pashpshat here?
That since he's not really getting punished for that error that he's doing, just that what's going to happen, so also God shouldn't be able to be punished because it's not really part of the action.
Oh. So, right, the analysis we had before when it came to the Mishnah, when it says, lo mitzvos, so there, it worked very nicely with the second approach. It's, you know, Machai is the past. And, you know, we had a struggle to figure out how to learn in line with the first approach, that's all about the future. So here's the exact opposite analysis, right? Here, the Gemara is basically saying that since the Iker Koveya is the future, so therefore, of course it should apply to a Katan. So, play it out. According to approach number one, that again, the Iker Mechayev is the future, this Gemara is beautiful. Yeah, because the Iker Mechayev is the future, exactly the same question that we asked, you know, against the first approach in the Mishnah, is now how you're reading this line in the Gemara. Because the Iker Mechayev is the future, therefore, who cares if it's a Katan now? As long as it's going to be a Gadol later, and his later actions are that which he's going to Mechayev the Misa, therefore, of course he should apply it to a Katan. Who cares what his status is now? So, according to the first approach, this works beautifully, and the Pashas, this is one of their rayas. Oh. As you can imagine, according to the second approach, according to the second approach, at the Iker Mechayev, is the past actions. So the question is, how in the world are you going to read this line of the Gemara? How in the world do you understand the Gemara, which says, because it's all about Nidon Al Shem Sofo, and Ed, you know, for good measure, not only does it say Nidon Al Shem Sofo, it also says, Al Cheto Nerag, is the basis the past? You know, so all this, how in the world are you going to explain the second approach? Right? How is the second approach ensured, who thinks that the Iker Mechayev is the past, how are they going to understand this line of the Gemara, which seems to say that because the focus is the future, therefore it seems to be Pashut, the Havamina seems to make a lot of sense to apply it to a Katan.
So it's also a question on the way we understood the Rambam. At least the way the Rambam says the mitzvah of Ben Sora Morah.
In the Bizayon.
Is well. Also, the way the Rambam said the mitzvah in the Kesaris.
Yeah, that's the same thing.
He said the ben shouldn't be a ben sora mora.
Yeah, that's the same.
But if you say that it's something that he's going to do, then it's not something that he's done already.
That's the same thing.
And so.
Yeah, I mean the Rambam was working within the second approach. At the Iker Mechayev is the current Bizayon. Yeah.
Al Shem Sofo Nerag, it just means that Al Shem Sofo is what gives us a right to kill him. Even if the Iker Mechayev was in the past, we don't need, still don't have a right to kill him unless we take into account the need of Al Shem Sofo.
Okay. Good. We'll spell that out in just a moment. But along those lines. Yeah? You still have to flesh. You know, we still have to flesh that out a little bit more. But yeah,
how do you say that?
You're asking Yitzi now?
Yeah.
Okay. Directed towards him.
Saying we should kill him, we should kill Akaza because Hashem's so far. So you can't explain that it's two components of that. A, it's what he did, and B, it's what he will do. And we're saying, oh, but we still have the what he will do fact.
So,
just
hold off till we just formulate a little slightly differently, and then we'll get back to that. Just before we present that answer, let me just point out, if anyone saw the Kli Chemda, there's a second Kli Chemda. Again, Hulishitaso, the Kli Chemda is one of the Mefarshim who adopts the second approach, that the Ikar Mechayev is the past. Right? He thinks that's the Geneva of the past, which is Gemid the Ikar Mechayev of the Misa. So Kli Chemda Lishitaso, after presenting his piece, which I had you saw last time, asks on himself from this line, the Gemara. Right? This is the end of the second page. I don't know if you guys ended up seeing it. But the Rasko Ve'in Lahashiv, he basically asks this very question. How am I, Kli Chemda, going to understand this line of the Gemara, which tries to justify applying Ben Sora Moreh to a Katan based on the focus being the future, if I, the Kli Chemda, justified the Misa based on the past actions of the Gneva? So the Kli Chemda, once he has a creative piece, the Kli Chemda basically asks this question on himself. Since the Kli Chemda adopts approach number two, that the Ikar Mechayev of the Misa is the past, is the Gneva, so therefore he asks this question himself, so that if the Ikar Mechayev is the past, then why is the Gemara saying, oh, it makes sense to apply Ben Sora Moreh to a Katan because the Mechayev is the future?
Well, Mechayev the Kli Chemda.
What?
You Mechayev the Kli Chemda's question.
Yeah, that's one way of saying it. So the Kli Chemda himself, again, any Chiddush upon Chiddush, once he's a creative piece, what's one more creative, read, right? So it's very Mechudash. He basically says, it's not a problem. What is the Gemara, doing when it invokes Nidon Hashem Sofo? So if you recall, within the Kli Chemda's, worldview here, what role does, Nidon Hashem Sofo do? Like, what role does Nidon Hashem Sofo play?
Makes him, exactly.
Dictates he's not going to do tshuva, and therefore grants him the status of a ben noah. Oh. Says the Kli Chemda, what this Gemara is saying is that when it's invoking Nidon Hashem Sofo, it's not saying, okay, look at the future, that's the Ikar Mechayev. It's saying, no, look to the future, which is the reason why I told you that he is a din of a ben noah. And once he's a din of a ben noah, so then the din of a ben noah is that you can be chayav nisa even though you're katan. So the Kli Chemda, the din, as the Kli Chemda points out, is that the din of shanim, the saros, this idea of needing to be 13, having shtei saros, that's only bedine Yisrael. For bedine bnei Noach, all you need to have is das. So therefore, says the Kli Chemda, when the Gemara invokes and says, of course you should apply it to a katan, Nidon Hashem Sofo, for him that reads, Nidon Hashem Sofo, therefore he is the din of a ben Necha, ben Nachri, ben Noach, no all the abbreviations, days none, ben Noach, because the din of a ben Noach, once it's a din ben Noach, you can be Mechayev Mezakatan. That's the Kli Chemda's approach. This is not going to work for anyone else. Exactly.
The problem is that the Mishnah says that he's only chayiv once he has shei saros, which is.
But that's maskana. This is the havmina. This is the havmina of why you need a drasha to exclude katan. Remember, the Nidon Hashem himself is justifying the havmina. That's the maskana. Okay. What's the connection between that and Katan? Fine. Okay, so there's some other haras in the Kli Chemda. We're going to skip them for now, just for the sake of time. So again, that answer to Kli Chanda, again, works out very nicely. You know, he is Mechayev of the past, and therefore Lishita, so he has to ask this question. He'd be disappointed if he doesn't, and he doesn't disappoint with a very Mechudash answer. Beautiful. Again, a Chiddush, but, you know, the whole piece is a Chiddush. So, fine. Okay, so now, as Daniel pointed out, this works with the Kli Chanda, but it doesn't work for the more normative approaches within the second approach, right? Let's say the Das Zakenim on the second day in the Rush, who think that the Ikir Mechayev is the past actions of, you know, Mekala Ava V'Imo. So the question is, how are they going to understand this Gemara of Nidan Hashem Sofo? So I think along the lines of what Yitzi was saying, is that one could suggest, and this is getting back to what I've said to Cole before, is that what's coming out of the Sugya from all these different Makoros is that everyone has to care about the future and everyone has to care about the past, right? Everyone agrees that there's a factor of Nidan Hashem Sofo, and it seems clear that because the Gemara invoking, you know, Eino Bar Chiyuva, it seems like everyone has to care in some way about the presence. So as we pointed out last time, even the approach of the Rush and the Das Zakenim, that the Ikar Mechayev is the past, so we pointed out, what was the role of the Nidan Hashem Sofo? The role of Nidan Hashem Sofo is that Nidan Hashem Sofo was, you know, I guess, the indicator or the generator of the Bizayon to the parents. Meaning, what the current rebellion will end up leading to, right, the current rebellion against his parents, how far this Ben Sora Mori is going to take that rebellion, so that ultimate Nidan Al Shem Sofa rebellion is what, you know, generates the high level of Bizayon to dictate that this is a case of Mekala Avavino. Remember, that's just a summary of the pshat. So I think along the lines of what Yitzi is saying, that perhaps this Gemara is saying, is that even though his current Bizayon took place, right, his current stealing, etc., took place when he was a katan, but since we know, Nidan al Shem Sofo, since we know that his rebellion is going to continue when he is a gadol, and since we know that later rebellion is what generates the high level of Bizayon, which therefore, you know, grants him this, you know, grants him the status of having been Mekala of the Imo, so perhaps the Gemara is saying that since that Nidan Hashem Sofo, since that rebellion will continue when he is a Gadol, so therefore be Mechayiv him based on that rebellion. So Inachanami, right, the current rebellion is taking place when he's a katan, and perhaps based on that, you shouldn't justify the Misa. But since the rebellion is going to continue into the future, and that future rebellion alone is what basically dictates that this current rebellion is not a katan limited rebellion, this is a lifetime rebellion. And since it's a lifetime, you know, rebellion, including the time in which he's a gadol, so therefore that generates this Bizayon, which the Ben Sora Mora should be responsible for. So that's in short the suggestion. Is that,
that's the answer to the first mana?
That's how the second approach, how those who think that the Ikar Mechayev is the past, why even how they will explain this Gemara, which is all focused on the future. So we're going to explain, as Nitzi was pointing out, that because, as we noted before, even the second approach is not ignoring Yidon Hashem Sofo, they all invoke it. And we pointed out before, the way we understood their Nidan Hashem Sofo, that's what created the rebellion, that's what created the Bizayon. So it could be that Bizayon, which is going to take place when he's a gadol, so that justifies killing him right now, because his current rebellion as a katan is going to lead into a rebellion as a gadol, and therefore it's, you know, worth killing him now because of that gadol rebellion.
Would there be a thought to say that because he's not a favorite mitzvah and he wouldn't be getting these averos, that maybe he won't rebel in the future? I mean, we can't judge now that he's a katan that in the future he's gonna.
The Gemara, you could have said that. The Gemara doesn't. The Gemara assumes that, you know, the Nidan Hashem Sofo even applies when he's a katan now. Even though the Ganev and the Achilles place as a katan, that still will lead to the Melasim as a Brios. That's the Gemara. But you're right, you could have said, since it only took place when he was, you know, immature, it could have been rectified his ways, but the Gemara doesn't assume that. Yeah.
How do you read the Al Chetonera?
So that part is still, I think you'd have to say like al cheto nerag like levad. Is it only based on his past sins? But what do you mean? It's also based on either of them. In economy, that's not the most glattery, but I think that they're going to have to say. Because again, remember, that's the kingdom. He says, so he says there was something in the past. So I'm assuming they're going to say, like, you know, like, Adu Ben Soro Mora, like, Acheto Nerag, like, alone? Is it only on that basis? No! You also have Nidon Hashem Sofo.
So this could be the way you read it. It was really different way.
What?
It would be more the different way that you read that.
Well, with the Nami. I'm saying you have to understand it as like, it's not rejecting Al-Cheto Nero. I'm not saying that there's no factor of past, but it's saying that's not the only factor.
Isn't the conceptual windfall from this that we get to foreclose on the...
Another big word, yeah?
Isn't the benefit of this approach that we get, this is a very clean way to foreclose on the Katan Havamina? Right?
Benefit of which approach?
Of the approach that you just said. In other words, if you had said a future, the problem with the Nidon al Shem Sofo is the thing for which, I still can't speak Yeshivish. It's the thing for which we're really judging. The problem with that is
in the future.
The future. That's
right. Now I'm saying everyone holds a Nidon al Shem Sofo.
What?
The problem with the
purely future-oriented focus is that it appears to apply just as well. Is that doesn't answer the Havamina that the Katan is dying. Because the Katan, we could say just as easily that the Katan is a bad future as we can say that the...
The problem with the future-oriented approach...
Right.
Is like the maskana in a way. It's like the mission, which is Eino Ba'alecha Mitzvos, which just seems to be focused on the current.
The benefit of the approach that you just outlined is that if the Bizayon has occurred now, right, then really what we're exempting the Katan from is not the future that we can predict, or the future of degeneracy that we can predict, but is rather the consequent chiyuv for dishonoring his parents.
So which stage are you in? Are you in the Nidon Hashem Sofo Havamina, or you're...
I mean the Katan Havamina.
The Havamina that you're in the Chayev Katan.
Right, the way that we've just
at
outlined...
At first glance, that would seem to be a problem with the past-oriented approach. So we're trying to answer that even the past-oriented approach still, you know, thinks that the future plays an important role in terms of generating the Bizayon.
Right.
And therefore, you can even justify the Katan.
No, that would seem to me... that seems to me precisely the way to foreclose on the Katan. Right? The Havamina of the Katan...
Can we discuss this later? I think...
Do we have to?
I'll give you 30 more seconds, because I think we're just totally missing each other.
I think that the Havamina of the Katan is Chayav is strongest when we're judging them on the basis of the future. Because it seems...
Yeah, right. You just said the opposite.
What?
Okay, I think you just said the opposite before.
I think it's strongest when we're focused on the future. It seems to me.
So therefore, the Zion approach,
right,
which is focused on the past,
or the present, whatever,
the present,
yeah,
has more difficulty with that house.
No, it's less difficulty because of
yes,
what
you are saying. Yeah.
No, oh. because what you said yesterday. Is that what he's being judged on is the present merit, is the present bizayon against the parents.
Therefore, it would seem hard to justify when he's currently a katan, why you take the current merit into account.
If not for the fact that
the kovei is the future, or at least there's a big role to the future bizayon.
But if you say that he's putter from cloud mitzvos, then what he's putter from really...
But that's a different stage. I said we'll talk later. Maskana, fine. So this is all the Havamina. That Nidon al Shem Sofo, right? Now we have because we take into account the future, so therefore makes sense to apply Ben Sora Mora to a Katan. Even though right now he's a Katan, since there's a big future in front of him where he's going to do all these things, when he's a Gadol, therefore there's a big Havamina to apply Ben Sora Mora to a Katan. So comes along the answer, you'll say please. Yeah, sorry, that was part of the...
Oh, yeah,
sorry. Like,
what was that part of the question?
That's part of the question.
The Omar.
Sorry. I mean, the Va'od is a part of the question. Va'od...
No, it's not your fault. Okay,
which is that Va'od ben v'lo ish, katan mashma. And also, even the simple pshat on the pasuk seems to imply that a katan should be included. So not only misvara, because nidun al shem sofa should include a katan. Exactly. So now answer, sorry, Yosef.
Amar
v'na marah.
Amar v'na marah.
Which means what? So, the chiddush drasha here. It's not the simple interpretation.
Exactly.
So it's a, it sounds like there's a drasha which says that it has to be that it's limited to a gadol. So again, so the big question whenever you have a gzeiras hakasuv of this sort, right, Meir, is to ask the question of how do you understand the drasha? Is it stam gzeiras hakasuv? Meaning, yeah, the havamina, the svara of the havamina makes sense. Really, it makes sense to be mechayev a katan, but there's a drasha, there's a gzeiras hakasuv, which says it's limited to a gadol. So again, we'll say it like this. The first way of understanding the drasha, it's a stam gzeiras hakasuv. Again,
one more drasha.
Drasha, this is a drasha. It's a drasha. Really, it makes sense, right? The svara of Nidon Hashem Sofo, based on the way we just explained it, still stands the maskana. But there's a gzeiras hakasuv, which says that, which establishes that Ben Sora Mora is limited to a gadol. So again, this is one way of understanding it. And according to this understanding, this is a drasha ba'alma, which seems to be disconnected from the Mishnah. Again, because the Mishnah, if you go back to the Mishnah Svara is Shelo Ba L'Chlal Mitzvos. It gave a Svara. It makes sense not to apply Ben Sora Mora to a Katan, because a Katan is Shelo Ba L'Chlal Mitzvos. But according to this first approach, understanding the Joshua, it's Stam Gzeiras HaKasuv, which says, no, really the Havamina is right. Really, the Nidon Hashem Sofo focus should be koveya, meaning forget the fact that he's currently lo ba l'chal mitzvos. Really, misvara, the fact that in the future nidon hashem sofo, that should be mechayvim. But is a gzeiras hakasuv of kiel ish ben asamach gburah so shel ish. So according to this understanding, basically when the Gemara introduces the factor of nidon hashem sofo, which explicitly again just in the flow of the Gemara. Remember, the Gemara in the first stage says what's the Havamina? We have the Svara of Lo Ba L'Chal Mitzvos. The Gemara then says, what do you mean, Lo Ba L'Chal Mitzvos? Nidon Hashem Sofo. And then the Gemara answers, there's a drasha. So according to, if you don't want to learn this drasha in light of the Mishnah, which we're going to suggest in a second, because you might want to, but if you don't want to learn, you just take the drasha kapashtas.
Because
there is a cause of exclusively. Then we're basically saying that Nisvara, the factor of Nidon, the Svara of Nidon Hashem Sofo, shrunk the Svara of Lo Ba L'Chlal Mitzvos, and it's Gzeiras HaKasuv.
So the Mishnah is wrong. How can you say, how you can...
Yeah. I just don't like saying wrong, but yeah. That this Drasha is offering an alternative to the Mishnah.
Like to suggest a difference.
It's just,
yeah.
It just totally disregards the Mishnah.
That would be the problem with this book, yes.
How do they read the Mishnah?
I'm just saying, when you read the Gemara, the simple way of interpreting the Gemara is that it's a drasha ba'alma. According to that, the problem, as I agree with you, the problem with such an understanding is that it seems to ignore the svara of the Mishnah. In Echanami. I'm just saying, like, the other alternative, which it takes into account the Mishnah, is the Mechudosh reading in the Gemara. I'm not saying you can't read it, but we'll get to that in just a second.
You'll be able to read the Mishnah.
Understood?
Okay.
What was the svara of the Mishnah?
The Sar of the Mishnah is that, currently he's Lo Ba L'Chal Mitzvos. Fine. So the second understanding, which Yitzhi seems to prefer, strongly, very strongly, and I appreciate the sentiment in the Mishnah, is that is to try to square this Gzeiras HaKasuv with the Svara of the Mishnah. To say that this Drasha is not just a Stam Gzeiras HaKasuv, but this Drasha is a Giloy to the Svara in the Mishnah. Right? When the Drasha says, we exclude a Katan, you read in, why? Because of the factor of Lo Ba L'Chlal Mitzvos of the Mishnah. And again, according to this understanding, so then Lemaskana, you have to go back to our original analysis of understanding how, of understanding the line of lo balach al mitzvahs, why the present status of Eino Bar Chiyuva plays a role. And just to remind everyone, earlier we pointed out that according to the second approach, it's very mistaber, right? It's all about the past, the present, and of course its current status, Eino Bar Chiyuva, you know, plays a very important role. But again, according to the first approach, it's all future-oriented. You have to, you know, be mechadish, even the maskana, according to that approach, that even the maskana, in order to, you know, adjudicate, right, adjudicate the person based on the future, he needs to have, you know, shame rasha currently, and therefore he can't have a shame rasha if eino ba lechal mitzvos, if he's not responsible for his current actions.
Was the second way of understanding the gzeiros kasav?
The second way of understanding gzeiros kasav, the gzeiros kasav is like a giloy to the svara of the Mishnah, that the pshat in the drasha ben asamach barasa shel ish is shelo ba lechal mitzvos.
Meaning, we're still excluding the svara, both one and
no,
two.
No, I mean, the first way of understanding it is that, no, on a svara plane, nidan al shem sofo trumped eino ba lechal mitzvos, and it's like stam gzeiros kasav. Right, according to that first understanding, you know, the first approach, the first future-oriented approach, doesn't have to come on to that, you know, shem rasha idea. You can say, yeah, everything's based on the future. Right, everything's based on the future, because on a svara plane, nidan al shem sofo trumped eino ba lechal mitzvos. And don't ask me from the maskana of a katan being excluded, because that's just a stam gzeiros kasav. So I'm saying these two understandings of this maskana, of whether we're coming back to the Mishnah's svara of eino ba lechal mitzvos, has a very important bearing on understanding that first approach. The future-oriented approach, does the person need to have a current shame rasha in order to invoke the internal shame self in the future? I'm going to hold all the questions, but I think we have like 3 minutes. 4 minutes until Raikon, so I just want to make sure we finish. So just two makoros, two Rishonim who seem to interpret the Maskana as going back to the Mishnah. Number one is the Rambam. Right, the Rambam in Hilchas Mamrim, Perek Zayin, Halacha Hey, when he excludes Katan, right, he invokes the Mishnah Svar of Eino Ba Lechal Mitzvos. He explicitly states, Shelo Ba Lechal Mitzvos. Again, the Rambam seems to be saying that, you know, interpret the Maskana in light of the Mishnah, and that's the way, and again, interpret the drasha, it's not just a stam gzeiros kasav. Exactly. Not as a stam gzeiros kasav, but as a giloy to the svar of eino ba lechal mitzvos. And the other Rishon who points this out, even more explicit fashion, is Rabbeinu Yonah. So Rabbeinu Yonah actually asks this as a question. He says, there seems to be a stira between the Mishnah svar of eino ba lechal mitzvos and the maskana's drasha of, you know, ben asanoch nivrasa shalish. He asks as like a vitim toma. What are you going to do? It seems to be a stira between the Mishnah and the Maskana. So he answers, no. Hainuach. This is the drasha. The Maskana is coming to tell you the svara of the Eino Ba Lechal Ish. Eino Ba Lechal Mitzvos. I'll take questions and maybe we'll do the next part. Rabbeinu Yonah just says like the Rambam. He just like sets it up very clearly. He starts by asking a question and says, he asks, like, you know, isn't there a stira between the Maskana of the Gemara and the Mishnah? Mishnah offers a svara of Eino Ba Lechal Mitzvos, and the Maskana has a drasha ba'alma. So the Maskana is, don't interpret the Maskana as a drasha ba'alma, like the first way of learning it. Rather, interpret it as a giloy to this svara of Eino Ba Lechal Mitzvos.
Isn't according to understanding number two, the Mishnah is still different than the Maskana? Because the Mishnah says the reason is because Katan Padre Shalom Balat Al Mitzvah. So the Gemara says the reason is because the whole Ben Asamach.
No, we're saying that's a Giloy. I mean, Ben Asamach Livrosa Shalish is just telling a fact. The Joshua tells you the Smichus in the Pasuk of the Chiyel, the Ish Ben, and the Smichus between Ish and Ben tells you that the Ben has to be like an Ish. That's a fact. That, i.e., the Ben, so or more, has to be a Gadol. That's a fact. What's the pshat in that? So it could be that the pshat in that drasha, why is it that it's, you know, some of the Rosh Hashalish, not just the stam gzeiros kasav, tacha, but the pshat is the Mishnah of lo ba lechal
mitzvos. The reason I need to reinforce that is because of the halakha.
Exactly, yeah.
So according to the first way, that Shasuk is bad, Shasuk Seir Sakasa, does that mean we reject the Svar of the Mishnah?
That's what will come out.
So how do we?
That's the problem with that first approach. Again, I didn't see any Rishonim who said. I'm just pointing out because, not just speculating, because whenever there's a Pashut read in the Gemara, I think it's worth noting that there is a Pashut read in the Gemara. And the simple way of reading the Gemara is that it seems to be going, you know, going against that earlier Svara. But you're right. The problem with it.
Yeah, how can the Gemara argue with the Neshar?
That's what Yitzhi was saying, and that's why the Rishonim are probably. I'm going to officially stop now so everyone go to Raikon, and then I'll ask